It's certainly nice to be back with all of you. I don't really know all of you, but as a congregation, at least, it's nice to be back. I'm sure if it was just me and you for a couple of you, maybe it wouldn't be nice. But as a congregation, it's nice to see you this morning. It's always good to start off by sort of insulting your listening audience, so I'm glad we got that out of your way. Those of you who are insecure are like, I know he's talking about me. No, I'm not. I'm talking about the person next to you, so it's okay. But it is good to be back. It's good that it's springtime. It's not as nice outside as it was this time last week, but spring is new and hope is eternal and the flowers are blooming and the grass needs to be cut and you're not sure if the lawnmower works or not, and will they fix it in a month or not, and certainly the construction barrels are in full bloom, and roads are closing, and it's springtime. And in my household, that means one other thing. That means it's spider time. I don't know where they were. I don't know where they came from. Oh, but they're there now. And I mean, I lived for a year in Florida. I know what a real spider looks like. You know, once when we were down there, I said, Mom, it's a spider. And she comes out, you know, with her paper towel. And, you know, of course, it was one of those wolf spiders the size of a catcher's mitt, you know. And that's not going to do it, Mom, with the paper towel. You might want to let me do this. But Trey, my son, it's probably at this point the most famous member of my family. But and I appreciate your comments and the prayer list to pray for both Joe, my now 9-year-old, having celebrated a birthday, and Bella, my 7-year-old. Well, I would like to talk about Bella for just a minute. You see, Bella is known in our family as the sassy princess. And she basically has no fear. Whereas Joe is more of a gentleman and more of a timid soul. Bella is a bit of a raging inferno. And she will ride the horse. She will, you know, pet the lizard. She will grab the fish. She will do anything. It's unbelievable how bold and fearless she is. Oh, but spiders are her kryptonite. And so we know when there's a spider upstairs in our house, when the shriek and the scream comes in the middle of the night. We could have the worst of events happen in our house, and we'd be like, must be a spider, I don't know. We even have a rule now, because it got so bad. You know, it's 3:30 in the morning, and Bella's screaming, there's a spider, where? In the basement. He's not going to make it by the time you wake up, honey. You're all right. We have a rule. She can wake Daddy if it's in her room. But if she sees it in the hallway or the bathroom or next door, don't wake Daddy. Let's not wake Daddy. And that's sort of my struggle, especially this week with, you know, Paul and everything, sleeping, not getting a lot of sleep. And spiders, as I've mentioned, they certainly don't help me sleep. And so it's been a tough time. And that's the theme of what I've been sharing with you the last 3 weeks, are surviving and thriving through tough times. And specifically three types. Mine, which is the motivation for the series, and mostly Trey's battle with cancer. But also the scripture each week, which is the model, the way we're probably supposed to handle, the lesson we can learn about tough times. But of course, the one that is freshest on your mind, and that's yours, whatever it is, as an individual or a collective, that battle as well. And so the focus this week is on fight. And we're going to look into scripture today at one of my favorite fights in the Bible. And there's many. There's a lot, whether you have David and Goliath or any of Samson's battles, or you want to look up a relatively obscure one, you look at Jael, J-A-E-L. It's a woman who was used in a great and mighty way in a battle she had. She just fought dirty is all that is. That's probably should have named Bella Jael as far as I know. But let's look to Scripture, and before we do that, let's certainly look to God. Once again, Lord, I thank you for being here this morning, for waking us up. Thank you for the little things in life like spiders that can be so much. But now, Lord, as we look into your word, I pray for each person here that you would perform a miracle and that you would communicate directly to their hearts as you so greatly desire. And so whatever battle we face, whatever spider that's in our life, right now, could we set it aside and focus on you? Enable us to do that, Lord. We love you, we praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. You would open up with me to Matthew chapter 26. It's a very famous battle, very famous fight. Verse 47. Perhaps it's a week early, as we head into Palm Sunday next week or somewhere in there, but it's about Jesus being arrested. And we pick up at verse 47. We've just had the Lord's Supper. We've just been in Gethsemane. And we've had Jesus praying, and here comes the angry mob. Verse 47, while he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived. With him was a large crowd armed with swords and clubs, sent from the chief priests and the elders of the people. Certainly sounds like a fight, doesn't it? Now the betrayer had arranged a signal with them. The one I kiss is the man. Arrest him. Going at once to Jesus, Judas said, "Greetings, Rabbi," and kissed him. Jesus replied, and look at this in verse 50. Jesus replied, "Friend, do what you came for." I love the composure that Jesus has. I love that he is in control. At 3:30 in the morning, when I'm smashing a spider and I'm angry, I'm not particularly in control. With much greater things on the line, Jesus simply says, "Friend, do what you came for." Then the men stepped forward, seized Jesus, and arrested him. With that, one of Jesus' companions, and we've learned most likely that it's Peter, and Peter's the one who is always first to act, first to speak, last to think. And I identify with him in a lot of ways. But it says, one of Jesus' companions reached for his sword, drew it out, and struck the servant of the high priest, cutting off his ear. Well, that's action. If it wasn't a fight before, oh, it's a fight now. I don't know about you, but when we're lopping ears off, it's go time. And I have in my Bible, it's a study Bible, and it says that perhaps Peter's goal was to cut his head off, but he just missed and hit the ear. And once again, as I've said 1,000 times as I've read through Scripture, oh, Peter. You even botched that one. But look what Jesus says. "Put your sword back in its place," Jesus said to him, "for all who draw the sword will die by the sword. You think I cannot call on my Father and he will at once put at my disposal more than 12 legions of angels? But how then would the scriptures be fulfilled that say it must happen in this way?" It says in Luke that at that point, Jesus reattaches the servant's ear. Well, things certainly got interesting at that point, wouldn't they? Verse 55, "At that time, Jesus said to the crowd, 'Am I leading a rebellion that you have come out with me? You have come out with swords and clubs to capture me? Every day I sat in the temple courts, teaching, And you did not arrest me. But this has all taken place that the writings of the prophets might be fulfilled. He takes control of the situation. He certainly calms down the fight and says some very beautiful and eloquent things. And the last line is, then all the disciples deserted him and fled. As I talk to you today, and as evidenced in this scripture, the theme for this sermon perhaps should be the battle that is before you is rarely the real fight. The battle that's before you, that when I said we have tough times, and the one for you popped into your head, may I suggest, or at least ask you to entertain the fact that maybe that's not the real fight. If we look at this reading today, Peter came to fight. He brought his sword. He goes right into action. Cuts his ear off. And Jesus immediately heals it. Now, don't you think at that point, the chief priest might have a change of heart? If the battle is this Jesus is a bad guy, and he's all about himself, and he's leading this rebellion of people, don't you think the chief priest would say, let's give him a second chance? In the earthly eyes, Jesus has taken control. He has shown he's something different. I think he wins. Have you ever wondered when you are going to win? Haven't we gone from battle to battle in our life? I have a term, the next big thing productions is how we live our life. Whew, glad that's over. And I know what's next. Typically driven by the calendar, but sometimes by the fights and the battles. If I could just get through this, I'll be okay. No, you won't. No, you won't, because there's another one. Back to spiders. Have you ever walked into a spider web that just shouldn't be there? I parked to get wings at Buffalo Wild Wings. I walked, I got my wings, I came back. In the meantime, 12 legions of spiders had come down in the middle of an empty parking lot, found my car as the central meeting point. And there's me. And from afar, what did I look like? An absolute, from up close even, an absolute fool as I'm swinging away and looking around. Where did it come from? And I don't mean to belittle your fight or your battle. I'm in a big one too. Jesus was in one. Peter put himself in one. But don't we kind of look like me in a parking lot? Swinging away madly at what may or may not have even been there in the first place. If we look at the earlier tough times, just in the last couple sermons that I've gone through, there's been battles each time. Whether it be Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, was there battle against authority, Nebuchadnezzar, and oppression? Or was it their allegiance to God? Was Lazarus, Mary, and Martha, was it Lazarus's life? Was it Mary and Martha's loss of a loved one? Was that the real fight? And today, is keeping Jesus from being arrested, protecting Jesus, is that the real fight? No. No, it's not. Even my sweet, sassy princess. Is it a battle over spiders? Or is it a little girl who, in a time of turmoil at home, as much as we can make it normal, is wondering, will someone be there to protect me? Does God really love me enough to put a daddy who will wake up at 3:30 in the morning and protect me from something I don't understand? battle before you is rarely the real fight. Well, then what is this fight? What is this real fight we are facing? And who are we fighting with? And I assure you, I'm not one of those people that sneezes and says, oh, I'm under spiritual attack. No offense to everyone else who I've now offended. Because sometimes you are. You know, it's probably pollen, probably. Well, hay fever is probably the sneeze. But we do have an enemy. And he does attack. But what is he attacking? And why? I will tell you, the real battle depends on where you are in relation to God. If you sit here today or as you hear this, you do not have a relationship with him. I guarantee you, your battle is for your soul, your salvation. The enemy does not want you to know him. And so God will use these battles to draw you near to him as the enemy, as Satan, as the prince of darkness. Call him what you will. As he uses it to drive you away. It is for your salvation. It is for your very soul. And God is in control. And he is drawing you nearer and nearer to him. Well, but you sit here and you say, Jay, I committed my life to Christ when I was 4. Backslid when I was 7, recommitted my life to Christ at 11. Well, my salvation, it's secure. Well, then I would say the battle is for your strength. The parable of the seeds, you know, it's not just a nice story. It's very true. It's very apropos. Some of us have had seeds planted, but then the hot weather came. And there was no strength for that plant to grow. And so these battles do what? They sap your strength. Perhaps they hit you so that you cannot sleep at night. Perhaps you just really feel like you can't go one more day. And so you become numb. You just sit there, literally, figuratively. And you sort of meander through life. Which leads me to the third reason, the third real fight we're facing, and that's for your service to God. There are a few things sadder to me than somebody who has lived their life for Christ, who has gone through the battles, and now has given in, and it's all about them. When there are others who are going through battles at all different stages, whether it be for their salvation, whether it be for their strength. And now they just sit there like this, and it was just one too many. I have an aunt who is 90-something. I think I mentioned her maybe last week. And you know, she looks at me, and we talk. She asks how Trey is. And it is a privilege that in a way she looks at me like a peer. She's lost everybody. She was the youngest in her family of 7, my grandfather being her brother. And she's lost children. She's lost grandchildren. She's lost everybody in a lot of ways. And she said, and I said to her, people say to me, Jay, how do you do it with Trey? How can you go? How can you speak? I could never do what you do. And my answer to all of you is, sure you can. I'm sure you don't want to, but I'm sure you can. And she looked at me and she smiled and she said, that's right. Yes, you can. You just do. You just do. God hasn't taken her service to him. She's a pillar of strength in our family. She will not give you a recipe to save her life. Just a sidebar. Oh, you know, you put a little of this in and a little... No, I don't know, Rosella. I would like you to tell me now. No? All right. So it is a battle for your salvation. But if you have that and it's secure, it's a battle for your strength. And if you're strong enough and you're willing, it's a battle for your service to him. Well, how do we win? I would love to have several more weeks with you and we could go in a lot of the how-tos instead of the what's. But I noticed something very interesting in Ephesians. I like to say sometimes that my scripture comes out in a larger font. And no, with all due respect, as far as insulting goes, once again, I know they make those Bibles for those who don't see well. I'm not talking about the large font Bible that's real big. But in your regular font you're reading, and then all of a sudden, boom, something stands out. Well, that happened to me as I was reading and doing some preparation for this sermon. Ephesians 6, verse 10, the armor of God. Oh, yes, of course, battle, armor of God. Bing, bang, boom, got a sermon. Whoop, it's in. But I noticed the nugget that God had for me, and I will give it to you. How do we win? What's the goal? What's the objective? How do we know we've won the real fight or even the battle? It says finally, verse 10, be strong in the Lord. Fair enough. And in his mighty power. Whose power? His power. Not ours. His. His power. Jesus said, in this world, you will have trouble. Don't sit there and say, why me? He'll say, I told you. But he says, fear not, for who? For I have overcome the world, not you will. For I have overcome the world. Here, put on the full armor of God so that you can take your stand against the devil's schemes. We stand his power. For our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. Oh, it's much bigger than that. For fear of tearing up one more time and going outside of my outline, I will share with you that we were blessed through the Pittsburgh Penguins and through Root Sports to get to go to a Penguin game. For free. We got to meet the Penguins. For those who know the story, we got to go to the morning skate. And if you don't know the story, and we got to go in the locker room afterwards, and I'm holding Trey, but they had one of those bubble hockey games. So he's mad because he couldn't play it because we had to go meet the Penguins. So we get into the locker room, and there's the big logo in the middle of the locker room, the dressing room, if you will. And now Trey wants to go see the big Penguin. Well, I already know. I don't think you're supposed to walk on that. And the representative from the Penguins said, yeah, the players charge each other $100 if you get caught stepping on it. So now I pick Trey up. Can't play the bubble machine. Bubble hockey. Nope, don't step on that. Would you like to meet a Penguin? Well, Father, no, I would not at this point in time. I'm being quite frustrated. It's not what he said. But sure enough, there's Sidney Crosby in his first stint back. And he's available and he's ready. And he turns, and I said, Trey, do you want to meet Sidney Crosby? Do you want to shake his hand? Give him a high five. He goes, no. Asked and answered, Your Honor. So instead, we just went, smile. And that was our big brush with Sidney Crosby. Not really sure why I shared that. Verse 13 says, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes... Oh, I know why, because we're at the game. That night. It's a good point, too, so I'm glad I found it. Thank you, Jesus. He's like, psst, Jay. I'm like, right, Lord, right. We're at the game, and we're sitting in these great seats, and I'm holding Trey, or he's playing with popcorn or something, who knows. And I think I'm actually in my phone doing something. And I hear the fans chanting. And in one little instance, I swear they're saying, let's go, Trey. And of course I go, no. They're not saying that. No, it wasn't on the, no. Of course they're saying, let's go, Pens. But I swore I heard, let's go, Trey. And I thought, I wonder if God, for 1 minute, just blessed me with what is happening in the heavenly realms. Because I know that thousands of people are praying for him. And that even the angels above are saying, let's go, Trey. Let's go, Trey. And I sat there and I wept. This battle's not just here. There are those who have gone before you who have been in heaven, who are up there in the heavenly realms. They're battling on your behalf, and that battle exists. It's against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. There are good forces in the heavenly realms. Verse 13, therefore, put on the full armor of God so that when the day of evil comes, not if, when, you may be able to do what? What is the goal? What is the real fight? What is the objective? It is to stand your ground. To stand your ground. And here's the big nugget I found. And after you have done everything, to stand. The goal is to stand your ground, and after you have done everything, to stand. Sometimes I guess we have too lofty of a goal when just standing is the scriptural basis for winning that battle. Well, I will tell you what, in my battle, I'm standing. You know, very often when we read obituaries, if I may go there, and someone has been stricken with cancer, what does it say? It says they lost their battle with cancer. Well, I will tell you this. If that day should come, Trey's would not read that way. You see, it will read, he has completed his battle. Because you see, the battle was for his soul. He knows Jesus better than I do. Was it for his strength? He ran up and down the hallways of the hospital with a red blood cell count that left him so pale, with a broken leg that we didn't know about, with a collapsed lung that left him on a no-fat diet and down to, as the nurse who said to Rachel one day, looking over her glasses, you know he 28 pound. As he ran back and forth. No, he has not lost his strength. And his service, what God has already done through that little boy, has affected the souls, the strength, and the service of so many others. Oh, he's battling. But you see, he's battling the real fight. And he's winning. And is he special? I would tell you as a father, yes, he is. But I would tell you scripturally speaking, no. Because we all have that same battle. And we can all fight like he has. And we will survive and thrive the tough times before us if we always remember his power. God above, his strength, the God who loves us, and his desire to work through us through his most holy of spirits. Let's pray. Oh, Father, I thank you for this time. I thank you for how you have drawn me closer to you. I thank you that this group of people have opened up their hearts, not to my story, not to Trey's story, not to Bella's story, or Joe, or Rachel. But they have opened up their story to you. Things they've held back, Lord, I pray they've opened up, shared with you. And I pray that you would impress upon them that you have won the battle. And that all they need to do is to come to you. And Lord, whatever it is for them, give them the courage to take those steps. We love you, Jesus, and we ask these things in your name. Amen.